verse we'd like to consider this morning is John 21, is verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lamb. The words we find here at the beginning of verse 15 mark the time when Simon Peter revealed his love for his master. When they had dined. It was then, when they had dined, that the Savior asked Simon Peter, Lovest thou me? But those words, so when they had dined, reveals the true love of another that sat around that fire there on the shores of Galilee. For it revealed the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before Simon Peter avowed his love for his master, he would be shown his master's love for him. Having forsaken and denied their Lord, Simon Peter and the others must have believed and felt that they would never again have an opportunity to dine with their master. But as they sat with him, having dined with him, they would have been reminded of his love for them. They would have seen how much he loved them that morning when he sought them out. They had failed their Lord and had returned to the fishing for fish. But the Lord had not forsaken them because they had forsaken him. No, we read in verse 1, And after these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this wise showed he himself. Then we read in verse 4, And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So there that morning, Simon Peter and six of the other disciples had gone fishing, gone back to their old work. But the Lord didn't leave them there. The Lord didn't abandon them because they had forsaken him. No. Christ went in search of the disciples. And he appears unto them on the shores of Galilee that morning and reveals himself to them. Why? After what they had done, why would he come in search of them and reveal himself to them? Why? The answer is simple. Because he still loved his disciples. He still loved his wayward disciples. He had set them as a seal upon his heart. And his love for them was as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench his love. Neither can the floods drown it. Song of Solomon 8 verses 6 and 7. So in love he had sought them out and called them to dine with him. And oh how that meal had revealed Christ's love for his disciples. It had also been revealed in how he had spoken to them. That revealed his love for the disciples. What would he say to them after they had denied him, after they had forsaken him? What would he say to them at that meeting, at that meal? there on the shore of Galilee. Had he condemned them, they would have deserved it. Had he upbraided them, they would have deserved it. Had he rebuked them sharply, they would have deserved it. Had he called them traitors, deserters, they would have deserved it. But he did none of those things. Instead, his first words to the disciples that morning were, "Children, have you any meat?" Yeah, the original is even better. For the Lord said, "Little children, have ye any meat?" Are these not the words of love? Are these not terms of endearment? Oh, believer, this is the Savior I love. The Savior who loves me, even when I feel him. One out of whose heart, a heart that has been offended and wounded, flows a love that embraces his wayward children and says to them, "Little children, have ye any meat?" Peter and the others saw the love of Christ and how he sought them out, and how he spoke to them, and also how he supplied for them. Wounded in the house of his friends, he now comes to those friends that had committed that deed and repays them. Repairs them with deeds of love and mercy. He performs a miracle in the draught of fishes. He provides a meal. And then he says to those seven disciples, "Come and dine." The fire they set around, the food they received, spoke of his love, of his love for his faltering disciples. They had seen these tokens of his love that morning when they had dined with the Savior. And so it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now it was time for the disciples, especially Simon Peter, to reveal his love for the Lord. And at that morning meal, this disciple had an opportunity to do so when asked by the Master, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He had an opportunity to tell the Lord how much he loved him. And as this word comes to us this morning, we also have an opportunity to say to the Lord, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." First of all, here in this text of Scripture, and indeed in this passage, we see here Simon and the Savior's challenge. He challenged Simon Peter and the disciples with regard to their love for him. When they had dined, the Master turned his attention to Simon Peter. That disciple who had promised never to leave the Lord, never to forsake him, never to deny him. A disciple who had failed to fulfill his vows and had done so with oaths and curses. That is perhaps why when the Lord Jesus addressed this disciple He didn't call him Peter. He called him Simon. Simon, son of Jonas. That was Simon's old name. The Lord, you recall, in John 1, verse 41, had given 42, had given Peter, or this disciple, a new name. Simon was his old name. Simon referred to his old nature, to his old ways. And here the Lord Jesus uses that name as he addresses this disciple. He calls him Simon, son of Jonas, reminding him of his old nature. And how that nature had come to the fore when he boasted so proudly of how he would never deny his Lord. He would go even into prison, yea, he said he would even die. He also said, Lord, even of others forsake me. Speaking of his fellow disciples, Lord, even of others forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. Of course, it had all gone wrong. Simon thought that he would be more loyal to Christ, have a greater and stronger love for Christ than the other disciples. They may run away and fail thee, Lord, but I will not. I would need to be reminded that we must not rest in the arm of flesh. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the Savior challenges Simon Peter with these words, lovest thou me, Simon? Here we have an examination of Simon's love. The words the Savior spoke that morning shone the spotlight, yea, the searchlight upon Peter and his love for the Savior. The question put to Peter, we can see, was the right question. In his examination of his disciple, the Lord did not ask Simon, Simon, what sacrifices have you made for me? The Lord did not ask Simon about his service for his master. The Lord did not examine Simon with regard to his faith and his trust in his master. Instead, he examined him with regard to his love. Simon, I want to know, lovest thou me more than me? Because you see, the Lord knew that it didn't matter what sacrifices an individual might make, if he didn't love Christ, then those sacrifices really didn't amount to very much. We know that from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the opening verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, have not love, it profiteth me nothing. That's why the Lord examined Simon Peter with regard to his love. And if we say that we are his, have we not, or has he not a right to to ask us, lovest thou me? Of course he has. It's the right question. It's also a reasonable question. In light of all that had gone before in Peter's life, was this not a reasonable question? The Savior had heard his vow, seen him walk in the counsel of the ungodly, had seen him stand in the way of sinners, had seen him sit in the seat of the scornful. And was this then not a reasonable question to ask Simon Peter, do you love me? I heard your voice. I saw you standing with the ungodly. I saw you there sitting in the seat of the scornful. Simon, I must ask you, lovest thou me? And after all that he had both seen and heard, it was reasonable to ask Peter, lovest thou me? So, dear child of God, when we don't fulfill our vows, we don't keep our promises to the Lord, we follow him afar off, is it not a reasonable question for the Lord to ask of us, lovest thou me? It's also a revealing question. This examination of Peter by the Savior was really an examination of the condition of Peter's heart. Because you see, the heart is the seat of the affection. And Christ wanted Peter to examine his own heart to see if love for the Savior was found there. Because you see, that's the love that Christ requires of us. We know that from Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. We're to love the Lord with all of our heart. So when the Lord said to Simon Peter, lovest thou me? The Lord was saying to Simon, Simon, do you love me with all of your heart? Was a reasonable question. Was a revealing question. And when that question is asked of us, may we be able to say, yea, Lord, I love thee. And I love thee with all of my heart. This question then was an examination of Peter's love. It also revealed the extent of Simon's love. For the Savior put this question to Peter three times. But the first question is slightly different to the other two. Look there again in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Said that three times. But the first time he asked the question, he added these words, lovest thou me more than these? More than these. When he said more than these, who or what was he referring to? Some believe that the Lord was referring to those fishing nets or to the ships there that were now filled with fish. Do you love me more than these things that you love so dearly as a fisherman? Or was the Lord referring to the other disciples there? I believe the Lord was referring to the other disciples. Because in Matthew 26, you turn to Matthew 26, verse 31, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men, the word man is in italics, though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Never. All others will. I will remain loyal. I will remain steadfast. The others may not, but I will. And when the Lord Jesus said to Simon, Lovest thou me more than these? The Lord was saying to Simon, Simon, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Simon Peter just simply said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He didn't venture forth. He wasn't going to make the same mistake again. He didn't venture forth and say, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee more than these. No, he didn't say that this time. He just simply said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And left it there. See, when the Lord examines us with regard to our love for Himself, He doesn't examine our love and compare it to someone else's. Our love for Christ must stand on its own merit. When Christ says, Lovest thou me, He's asking us, How do you personally love me? Not in comparison to others, but how much do you love me? And surely we can only say with Simon Peter, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest the extent of my love. Thou, Lord, knowest how much I love thee. These words put to Peter, gave him an opportunity of expressing his love. And here we have the expressing of Simon's love for Christ. When asked, the disciple expressed his love for the Master, saying, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And here we see that Simon Peter, first of all, was genuine in expressing his love. He was happy to have the Lord examine his love. He was not trying to hide anything. He was not trying to pretend. He was genuine because he said, Lord, thou knowest. Indeed, he said, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest, Lord, how genuine my love for thee is. We have to note something here. On the three occasions that the Lord Jesus spoke to Simon and said, Simon, lovest thou me? The first two times that he asked, he used a different word than what Simon Peter used with regard to love. The word love used by the Savior was a higher form of love than the word love used by Peter. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? That's a different word to the word Simon Peter used when he said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The word Christ used, it's a higher form of love than the word that Peter used. The word that Simon Peter used is a word that means affection. The way you would have an affection for a friend. Peter used that word each time he answered the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The word the Savior used was a word that's used to describe divine love. The love the Father had for the Son. The love that the Lord Jesus has for His people. He uses it there in verses 7 and 20. It's a divine love. But the word that Peter used is a love that speaks of affection. It's, as it were, a lower form of love. The love that one would have for a friend. And on this occasion, the friend was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was saying to the Lord, Lord, I could never reach the height of Thy love for me. Thy love for me is greater than my love for Thee. But this is my love. He was being honest, being genuine, and saying, Lord, I love Thee. I have a great affection for Thee. I love Thee as my best. What he was saying. And dear child of God, we will never be able to reach the heights of Christ's love for us. That love cannot be reached, measured, or fathomed. But how is our love for him? Are we able to say with Simon Peter, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee as I love my best friend. Just as the bride in the Song of Solomon, speaking about her beloved, she called him friend. And she said to her friend, I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Or like Jonathan. Jonathan had a great love for David. David was Jonathan's best friend. Jonathan said of David, or is written of Jonathan, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's how Simon loved Christ. Is that how we love the Savior asked Simon Peter the third time. Now Christ employs a different word for love. Now he employs the word that Peter used. The Lord said to Simon Peter the third time, Peter, or Simon, do you have an affection for me? So to say to Simon Peter, Simon, I will accept your love. I will accept your love. I will accept your affection for me. For Simon, out of his heart flowed that affection for Christ. All the love that grace could manufacture or muster. That's the love that flowed out of Simon's heart. He had an affection for Christ. And the third time the Savior said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you have an affection for me? The Lord was saying, Simon, I accept your love. And while our love may not reach the heights of Christ's love, if our love is like Peter's, Christ will accept our love. Bless his name. But then I notice, Not only was Peter genuine, but then I see Peter was grieved. When the Master asked Simon Peter the third time, "Lovest thou me?" we read that Peter was grieved. Why was he grieved? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" Why did the Lord put this question to Simon Peter three times? Well, as most commentators have noted, and we have all noted, I'm sure, that Peter had denied the Lord three times. And so the Lord now puts this question to Peter the same number of times that he had denied him. And three times over said to Peter, "Simon, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" It was as if the Master was taking Peter back to the place where he had made his mistakes and where he had fallen, to realize just how weak he was. Now he had the opportunity to put things right and to say, "Yea, Lord, I know that I love thee." But why should Peter be grieved? Indeed, the word grieved there means to be afflicted, to be made sorrowful. So Simon was sorrowful at the Lord asking this question three times. And yet, should Peter not have? And as this challenge comes to us today, surely there's no need for sorrow. Would we not be glad of an opportunity? Would we not be glad of 1,000 opportunities to say, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." Notice here also Simon and the Savior's compassion. Simon and the Savior's challenge, "Lovest thou me?" And what I was greatly struck by in this passage, this very familiar passage, was the Savior's compassion. The compassion that he had for Simon and the other disciples. Each time Simon responded to the Lord's challenges, the Savior gave him a command. Verse 15, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, "Feed my sheep." Verse 17, once more, "Feed my sheep." Here you have the Savior's treatment of Simon. This is how the Lord treated Simon Peter. The night that Simon Peter denied his Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. And Simon must have thought that after that night, his ministry was finished. He must have thought that. He must have thought that was the end of his ministry. And I believe that is proven by the fact that he and six other disciples went back to fishing. They were not fishing for men as the Lord had called them to do. They went back to his old trade. And Simon, I'm sure, felt that he was finished. That the Lord would no longer require his services. And instead, we see how the Lord Jesus treated Simon Peter that day and said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And when Simon responded, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Feed my lambs." I want you to know, Simon, I'm not finished with you. I want you to know, Simon Peter, I'm not throwing you on the scrap heap. I want you to know, Simon Peter, I still require your services. And it all centered upon those questions. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? If you love me, your love is genuine, I will accept your love. And now I want you to feed my sheep. And I want you to feed my lambs. Here's the Lord's treatment of Simon. Here is an example of the Lord's compassion. The psalmist has penned the words, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord was gracious to Peter that day and full of compassion. And again, the psalmist has said, Psalm 86, verse 5, for thy Lord art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Good, ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Oh, wasn't the Lord good to Simon that day? Thought it was finished. But the Lord is good. Thought his services would no longer be required, but the Lord is merciful. He's full of compassion. Believer, that's the Savior we worship today. And if you have faltered in the past, and you've told yourself, the Lord's finished with me. And the devil has told you, the Lord is finished with you. It's not true. Because the Lord is good. And the Lord is ready to forgive. And the Lord is plenteous. For Elijah thought he was finished. And his faith failed him. Ran away into the wilderness. Found a juniper tree. Sat under it and wished he was dead. Thought he was finished. But he wasn't. He wasn't finished. The Lord said, Elijah, what doest thou here? He fed him, strengthened him. And then said to him, go and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Elijah, I'm not finished with you. Because the Lord's good. And the Lord forgives. And the Lord is gracious. Poor John Mark. Often think of John Mark. Who went with Paul. One of his missionary journeys, Paul got into a dispute with an enemy of the cross. John Mark thought to himself, I didn't think the mission field was anything like this. He turned around and went home. A failure. And I'm sure John Mark felt it. And I'm sure John Mark felt that he was. Because the Lord is good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy. And at the end of Paul's life, he sent that letter to Timothy and said, bring Mark with thee, because he's profitable unto me for the ministry. That's what the Lord's able to do. Lord can take us and lift us up out of our failures and bring us to the place where we're profitable unto Him in the ministry. That's what the Lord's able to do. That's what the Lord did for Simon Peter. And the Lord said to Simon, "Feed my lamb." Not only do we have the Savior's treatment of Simon, but we have the Savior trusting Simon. The Savior trusted Simon Peter when he said, "Feed my lamb." Notice what he said. Those three occasions. "Feed my lamb." "Simon, they're my lamb." And then he said, "Feed my sheep." "Simon, they're my sheep." He said it again the third time. "Feed my sheep." And the Lord was saying to Simon Peter, these lambs and these sheep are my most dearest treasured possession on this earth. These are my people. They're my lambs and they're my sheep. And Simon, I'm entrusting you with them. I'm trusting you to feed my sheep. I'm trusting you to shepherd my sheep. I'm trusting you to look after my sheep. See, you can trust that man. You can trust him with your life. You can trust that man who loves Christ. You can trust him with your life. You can trust that man who loves Jesus Christ. You can trust him with your soul. And that's why Christ trusted Simon Peter. Because Simon loved Christ. And Simon would care for him. Or care for them. Turn to John 10. You see, the man who loves Jesus Christ will love the sheep for Christ's sake. In John 10, verse 12, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." The hireling has no love for the shepherd, the chief shepherd. And so when danger arises, then the hireling leaves the sheep because he doesn't love the sheep. A man that doesn't love Christ doesn't love the sheep. The Lord knew that Simon loved him, and therefore he could trust him. Contrast this with what we have in 2 Corinthians 12. And there in verse 15, contrast the behavior of the hireling with the behavior of Paul the apostle. Because in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 12, we read, Paul says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Paul said, "I'm willing to spend and be spent." Why? Because I love you. I love you. And why did he love them so much that he is willing to spend and be spent? Because Paul loved Christ. love Christ, so we love the saints. This preacher loves Christ, and this preacher loves the saints. And then we have the Savior's task for saints. Three times Christ committed the care of his flock to Peter. Here the Savior identifies the task. The Savior said to Simon Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." The chapter opened with Simon Peter fishing for fish. The chapter opened with Simon Peter out there in the Sea of Galilee fishing. Fishing all night, caught nothing. That's not where the Lord wanted them to be. The Lord didn't want them there. Now the Lord identifies what he wants Peter to do. Simon Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. That's what I want you to do. You see, that's what love does. That's where love for Christ will bring us to. We love the Lord Jesus, then we'll want to know, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, identify for me the purpose of my life, what I'm supposed to do. Identify thy will for me. Love will lead us to say, with our hand and our heart, Lord, I will not serve thee with less than my all. Show me what I must do. Identify the work that thou hast for me to do here. Because when I stand before thy throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. So, Lord, identify for me what I ought to be doing. The Lord identified for Simon the task. And the Lord showed to Simon the importance of the task. Verse 15, feed my lambs. Verse 16, the words may be rendered, shepherd my lambs. Verse 17, the word of instruction is, feed my sheep. The word there given for the lambs and the sheep may be rendered little lambs, lambs and sheep. And the Lord was saying to Simon Peter, I'm giving them into your care. I'm trusting you with the little lambs. I'm trusting you with the young lambs. I'm trusting you with my sheep. How important your work is, Simon. Once again, for the one who loves Christ, he will see the importance of the work. He will see the importance of evangelizing children. He'll see the importance of bringing children to Christ. See the importance of building up young believers. See the importance of ministering to the saints of God. Then lastly and briefly, we have Simon and the Savior's call. Simon and the Savior's call. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, When I was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he says unto him, follow me. Follow me. There's the Savior's call to Peter again. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee. Here was something that the disciples should give attention to. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when I was young. Here you have the Lord's reminder. Notice the three stages there in that verse, or those two verses. When I was young, when I shall be old, and when I shall die. Young, old, after he mentioned death, Christ said to Simon, follow me. That's life, isn't it? We're young, and the years go by, and we grow old. And then death comes. And how have we loved the Lord? And what have we done for him because we love him? What the Lord was teaching Simon here. He was reminding him that life will soon be over. You'll be so feeble, you'll not be able to do anything, perform any duty. Simon, follow me. The reminder and the revelation. He told Simon Peter that in his death he would glorify God. Soul that loves Christ, the soul that dies loving Christ, will glorify God in his death. He will glorify God. Dearly beloved, today may our lives, may our death glorify Jesus. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all, and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. May it be so. And the restoration. The Lord restored Simon Peter. Told him to feed the sheep and the lambs and said, Simon, follow me. Galilee means a circle. And here Peter's life had turned a complete circle. It was at Galilee where the Lord had called him. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now Simon's at Galilee again. And the Lord said again, follow me. For Simon, it was time for a fresh start. For Simon, it was time to begin again. Dear child of God, in many ways, it's time for us to begin again. May we follow Christ, and he will make us fishers of men. And may we be able to say today, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God and gracious Father, we come to thee in the Savior's name. We know, Lord, even as thou hast shown us through thy word this morning how important it is for us to love thee. And to give thee, Lord, or even our very best love. And then we will give thee our best. O gracious God, be pleased, according to thy mercy, Lord, to bless this witness. And magnify thy name in this house. And even now, Lord, be very near to us as we gather around the table. May we this day remember Calvary. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.